Come on, Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketer! Quarter charcoal, that bastard!
Beast!
Boom, wink.
The finished conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Bronziak, Bronziak, Bronziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny. Do not vomit me.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 125 of Three in the Box, the Underground Wild Podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, February 20th. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about wins, buys, and shoring up the lineup. In the studio with me, as always, Kenny.
Good to be here.
And Jive Midnight.
Good evening.
And we've got a guest.
Again.
Right below me on the video. On the video, I think. Here, yeah, right there, down there. It's like Brady Bunch, you know? It's like... Timnado. Oh,
so wait. I got to kind of look
that way.
I got to look this way.
I have to say that way, but he's that way.
It's like that that rare bootleg for Dog Night.
Worst band ever.
Hey.
You have a problem with
nothing like a little blood, sweat, and tears.
You can't do that.
Jeremiah was a bulldog. Wait. Da-da-da.
So speaking of worst band ever,
Jog to the World.
Jog to the World.
It's bootleg, so it's like everything's a little bit off.
So there's the Hinckley Amphitheater concert series coming up this summer.
Okay.
Go on. My mom and my aunt and my cousin had went up to see Lady Antebellum last year when I was working up there, and you know they wanted to,
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
You know, come, you know, see the show. So they're curious what was going on, and basically my boss tells me, yeah, just look at the schedule online on who's coming and let me know what shows you can work. So I was like, it's kind of early, but I think I'll take a look. So, one of the dates this summer, Alice Cooper. Which, you know, that's going to be a fun show, because I missed his free show when he was at Harriet Island, like, what, 4 or 5 years ago, something like
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah?
You're going backstage at Alice Cooper?
I will be. It'll be like Wayne's World.
You're going to tell him about Milwaukee?
Milwaukee.
The other one, though, and this actually kind of surprised me, is Kiss is playing at the Hinckley Amphitheater.
They turn down no gigs.
At this point.
As long as you're hitting a certain threshold, so they all get paid.
Yep. They look at the contract like we're in.
We were retired, but you know,
I'm kind of curious.
We need to do another final show.
Gina's like Paul, Kiss Alive 5, 6.
I'm really hoping Mini Kiss opens for them, because that would be awesome. So anyways,
yeah,
talking about bad bands.
This is true. Well, Three Dog Night's not a bad band, though. Four Dog Night.
Yeah. Those guys are horrible.
It was one, you know, night not to remember.
Got dog 4 times.
So happy
President's Cup Day.
President's Cup Day?
It was a great day, actually. I didn't have to do anything, so I just sat around, mucked around with HTML for like the first time in like over a decade. Yep.
Are you still programming HTML4?
Or HTML?
I wanted to do like frame sets. I kid you not. I was like, wait, no, frame sets. They were deprecated in HTML5. So.
Yep.
It's old. My mind definitely goes old school. Yep. The CSS stuff,
that's part of the reason I haven't touched it forever.
It's not so bad.
It's not bad. It's just a matter of, you know, use it or lose it.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Oh, nerd talk.
Yeah.
Nerd talk.
I'm out.
Shut up!
Well, I'm sure everyone's riveted with our CSS and band shitty band talk. So
yeah,
maybe we should talk some Wild.
Who are they?
I don't know. Who are they?
Okay, let's talk it. So, well, the Wild week that was. I mean, they had a loss against the Ducks, a very, very close loss. I think it was probably one of their best games that they actually played this year. But, you know, in the past we've talked about, you know, running into a goalie that's just like a brick wall. But I think that, honestly, that night, that's running into a goalie that's like a brick wall.
Gibson was playing out of his mind.
Out of his mind. Yeah. And, yeah, the Wild had chances.
They had, five, six power plays that they couldn't convert
on?
Yeah,
and I think they had 30, almost 40 shots.
They outshot them almost 2-1.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, you could make that argument about the Wild for any loss over the last 2.5 months, where it's basically, they're buzzing the whole game.
The whole game. Sometimes they're off on like first period or so.
Right. Well, I mean, they've got periods where it's like, holy cow, they've had so many opportunities here.
How has nothing gone in?
How is that?
But there's never any blowouts. Like, they're always in it. Like, you're watching it till the end of the game.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
they could have easily tied that one up.
I mean, I think the last blowout was the last blowout that I remember really is New Year's Eve. I mean, I think that was like
Columbus.
Versus Columbus. That ended the streak. I mean, it seems like the last one where it was like, you know, where it was kind of one sided.
Right. Yeah. So, but I mean, they did. They bounced right back from that, and they came back and won a couple of more of the divisional games. So, beating the Stars and the Predators. So, and I think we saw Kemper in there on against the Stars. He was, you know, strong there, only gave up a goal. I mean,
I know Fox Sports made a big deal about how Kemper's played the Stars twice more than any other team in the league.
Really?
So it's like, I think Boudreaux is continuing Yo's thing of, well, I'll just play him against Dallas, because why not?
Yeah. So, I mean,
but he won.
He did. I mean, I
thought he looked solid too.
Yeah. He looked really good.
Yeah, he's coming on.
It's one of those games where it's like, okay, well, maybe Kemper isn't bad anymore. I don't know.
But
well, you play him at the Dubes right time.
Dubes is still our number one, but. That's, you know, and I've been saying this for a while now here. I'm comfortable with, you know, Kemper being our number two. I think that he's a solid option back there. So,
and we need him because, you know, the rest of the season there's going to be a crunch of games. And
definitely.
We need to spell Dubnyk when we can.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be seeing a lot of Kemper towards the end of the season.
Well, we're going to have to, considering we still got a ton of back-to-backs left. And
We've talked about it before, but yeah, it was like, what, 8 or 9 pairings of back-to-backs?
Well, I mean, with the World Cup of Hockey and the bye week.
It's stupid.
The schedule is unbelievably compressed, and which makes all the like light scheduling in the beginning of the season look really ridiculous, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And then and Minnesota's going to have it even harder because we're going to have the state hockey tournaments coming up here. And that's going to interfere with our home schedule.
It's going to be back-to-backs on the road.
Right. Which is really great.
So what are you saying? We throw the state hockey tournament out of the question here?
Yeah, put it at the Target Center. Who cares?
The Target Center.
Well, you know, they are drawing more than the North Star Cup, so.
Or put it at Mariucci. I mean.
No. They fill the seats for those, man.
Put it at Target Center then. I mean. Because no one's going to the Timberwolves games anyways, so.
Yeah, people actually are this year.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, only if companies are, like, buying up all the tickets and giving them to their employees.
Hey, are we FSN? Do we have to cover both teams?
So anyways, you know, this week, the Wild, they continued with their winning ways, stringing wins together. and, you know, keeping their losing streaks to, oh, say, a game, you know.
Yeah, we haven't lost back-to-back games in regulation since early November.
Yeah.
And that was the only time, I think, is what I remember hearing.
Yeah.
I told my wife I wouldn't shave until we lost two consecutive.
How is she feeling about that right now?
Yeah, she's like, you're a wildebeest. You're a wildebeest. And I say, they never lose consecutive.
Just say I'm a Wookiee.
I love you as you, not me.
Can we go a month without a Wookiee imitation?
Without a crappy Wookiee.
Well, none of them are good, so I'm just going to say Wookiee imitation. Right. Although I think Jive, I think that was the best one I've heard yet.
Best worst or best?
Best, but it still was not that great.
So that'd be the best worst.
You could get Chewy on the button bar. Right.
Just like a big overlay, he comes out. Hey, there was a pretty good one almost.
I think we need to practice. I think we need to get that burn sample of him doing the Wookiee for our Wookiee.
There we go. But anyways, I mean, the consistency that they're playing with right now, that's going to put them into a good, you know, spot. They'll be in the driver's seat basically in the playoffs if they can continue this. How could you lose a series, you know, when you're only having a game at a time where you're losing?
Ask Boudreaux.
Well, and that's going to be my question to you guys. So what do you see as the weakness of the Wild right now that could possibly maybe bring our, you know, playoff, you know, hopes of going deep into the playoffs here to an early end?
Chicago.
It's not really a weakness, but it's just the way things kind of go is that just because the Wilder right now, they're in the position where they could actually maybe win the President's Cup, the President's Trophy.
Happy President's Cup Day.
But those teams that win the Presidents don't necessarily win the Cup.
Nope.
So
it's a whole nother season then.
It's a whole other season. I think the one thing where if you're going to take solace in it is that, the teams that win the Cup are the teams that have hot goalies. And mm-hmm. our goalie, Dubnyk, has been hot the whole year.
Yeah.
So
is it hot or is he just playing like he plays and he's
it's both, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be he is a hot goalie and he just plays that way. I don't know. I mean, I genuinely think you got a hot goalie and you're going to win the Cup. Yep. The only thing that's going to kill us is if Dubnyk goes,
you know? Yeah. I think the Steven system too will like kind of keep shots at the perimeter, like, you know, low quality chances, like our defensemen are right in there breaking everything up.
Oh yeah, that definitely helps the goaltending situation. Yeah,
I don't think it's any coincidence that Dubnyk is having his best year this year.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at league wide, the Wild are second in points right behind Washington. Their goal differential is second best to Washington, and their goals against is second best compared to Washington. And we're not that far behind them. So yeah. Definitely with having a hot goalie, you know, and a solid goalie, mm-hmm. and having Kemper, who's been playing pretty well as a solid backup, you know, it's going to take the team far.
So what weakness, though, do you guys see then, though, that, you know, might cause an early exit for us?
I think, and this is kind of jumping ahead a bit, but I think with the condensed schedule, potentially injury.
Injury, yeah. So it comes down to injury. All right. Well,
I'm gonna still stick with our goalies getting cold.
Yeah.
You know, or injured. That's the thing that scares me more, because if Dubnyk is our goalie.
Yep.
As well as Kemper can play.
Kemper serviceable. Yep.
I worry about him if he's our number one.
I can agree.
So that's our biggest weakness is the health of Dubnyk. And I'm not saying that's a weakness, but that's the straw, you know? So if that breaks,
right. I would say that, you know, I don't know if I've gotten spoiled, but, you know, we've been winning more than we ever have. But every game I see like a, you know, a string of pretty scrambly play by the defense, you know, like there's a period or two where we're under attack pretty good. And we've been able to survive it. But when it comes to the playoffs and it's more tight checking, low scoring, I mean, one, you know, loose period could spell our doom. In a game,
that said though, like this last week, I mean, we've seen a lot of that almost playoff, you know, style intensity going on.
And that Anaheim game, man, that's a playoff game, 1-0.
Yeah.
Well, and I think part of that, part of the reason that we might struggle with that, especially in the last week, is not having Brodin for a lot of those games.
Very true.
Is and so you're playing. You're playing
the Follens, the Olofsons,
Prosser.
Prosser's getting more minutes than he probably should be.
Prosser's getting way too many minutes, and that would be another weakness. It would be like if we're having to play Prosser, you know, 15 minutes a game. I want him as an insurance policy.
Yeah.
Right. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Are you thinking we're an injury away, though?
Yeah, like you said, we're an injury away from being knocked out. A tenuous situation.
Yeah.
I think we are in many cases, actually. Yeah. We've been pretty blessed this year.
It has been.
As far as injuries go. Yeah. Knock on wood.
Yeah. I had to do that. I apologize for the background noise there.
Yeah,
folks.
The Brodin injury was like the most major injury I think we've overcome this year.
We've had Halla out for stints, we've had Parisi out for stints.
But they've been pretty short, and we've been able to weather them.
I think as long as we don't have multiple players out, we have enough that we can, you know. Boudreaux's been juggling lines, so, and his line juggling has been working. So I think even losing a top forward, you know, he can still compensate for it a little bit. But when you start losing your defensive players, all you're doing at that point is kind of putting more pressure on your top two pairings playing more, or you know,
and I do think there's a big drop off in our defensive players. Mm-hmm. It's like you know, we've got Brodin, we've got Suter, we've got Spurgeon. Those three, I think, are obviously our top three defensemen. Yeah. And then you've got the Dumbas, you've got
Scandella
in there, you know. Those two will probably shift in, you know, in our, you know, four and five, and then you've got a rotation of other guys. And if you lose someone in that order, that means you get more Prosser in there, you get more Mike Riley in there. Olofsson has been doing all right. I'll say he's been doing all right.
Yeah.
He's not, you know, seasoned yet, but you know, he's figuring things out,
and he's not totally costing us games.
Right. So. He doesn't scare me as much as Riley does.
Right.
Because Riley pinches when he shouldn't be pinching.
Yeah, Riley's a little more reckless. I'll just call it like that.
No, he totally is.
That's why Chicago on the cup runs, they had like an Oduya, you know, on that third pairing.
Yeah.
Dependable.
Yeah. And I think that's what you need.
Veteran savvy.
Well, and even then, though, Oduya on some of those cup runs wasn't very old, you know. He was veteran in the sense where he's been around for a year or two, but, you know, he's not a grizzled vet by any stretch of imagination, you know.
So speaking of all this, there's obviously still some weak links kind of within the Wild that, you know, they might be kind of hidden, though, because of our success this year. I mean, it's easy to, you know, look at all the good things that are going on, and be blind to maybe some of the things that might be actually holding us back. Is there anyone that you think is comfortably on the current roster that, you know, we might be looking to maybe replace, you know, coming into the trade deadline that's coming up here?
There is. I was just reading something on ESPN about trade deadline coming up, and with that, the whole Vegas expansion and stuff like that. And basically, a lot of the consensus from those guys, Burnside and LeBrun, and, you know, like the bigger sports analysis, the hockey analysis from from ESPN. They're like, you know, any team that's like top playoff contention right now, I don't think any of them are looking at doing any type of trading, and I have to agree with it, and they're not worried about the Vegas expansion. They'll deal with it after the playoffs are done.
But looking at the Wild's team is what I'm asking. Is there a weak link that you're seeing on the Wild that, you know, might be of potential that, you know, we might need to find something different in that spot?
No. I think they're going to keep rolling with what they have. It's been working. Why change it up?
Okay. Anybody else?
My one concern is, I mean, I know I've already brought it up as defense. I don't think we're as deep defensively as we would like to be. Mm-hmm. However, I don't know that we've got the space to actually make a move on it. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have a space to make a move on anything, really,
yeah.
Unless you're moving someone that we want to get rid of. And I at this point, about the only player I can think of the Wild even considering moving would be like Scandella. I mean, he's played well, but I don't think he's been playing out of his mind this year. Not what he's being paid, at least.
Yeah.
I think Scandella is the weak link right now. I don't think there's enough flexibility for the Wild to make a whole lot of moves at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you know, there's not much room, but if Fletch can make it happen, I mean, you know, one more solid D, you know, that can kind of take the Prosser role of plays when he needs to play, but he's a little more, you can trust what he's going to bring. And then the fourth line seems a little volatile based on what we're seeing. Who's shuttling in and out of Iowa. We need to maybe come to a consensus of what our fourth line is going to be going forward.
And I guess I would tend to probably kind of lean with what Aaron was saying here. With Scandella, but I might even toss in, not that he's playing poorly, but just that maybe we could replace him with something a little bit more seasoned or more veteran would be Follin as well.
I think Follin's, for the price Follin's doing splendidly, I think.
The price that he has, but, you know, that's not to say that we couldn't get something where, you know, we're getting some draft picks in or something like that.
See,
extra that might, yeah.
And I'd rather hold on to Follin. I don't know. I don't have any basis for my man love for Follin. Maybe his beard. I don't know.
Looks like Thor.
He does look Thorish, you know. But I've been okay with Follin's play. I think if you're going to try to move someone, you move someone like Scandella or Dumba, who is getting paid a little bit more, frees up a little cap space, and those are guys that you potentially might lose during the expansion draft anyway.
Yeah.
You know, Dumba is going to be a little harder to swallow since he is, even though I don't think his year has been that great, he's still scoring points, putting right. points on the board.
If Follin was our 7th D, you know, like he was the guy that we could plug and play as needed, I'd be pretty happy. You know, we're not counting on him, but with an injury or, you know, whatever, we can plug him on the third pairing, I'd be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is right now he's basically like number 5 or 6, depending on the injury situation. But the problem is you got Prosser ahead of him.
That's the thing. I want Follin to like surpass Prosser as like the guy that we plug in and play as needed.
I think he should be at this point.
Yeah.
I at least me watching Prosser's play, Prosser makes me scared. I see him on the ice too often for boneheaded where we're just getting beat. And our goaltenders are...
I agree with you, Aaron. Prosser's been... Every time he's on the ice, you're just kind of cringing and keeping your fingers crossed that he doesn't do something stupid that's going to lead to, like, a major turnover where it's, like, a scoring chance or a goal
right.
coming from the other team.
Right. If it's an away game in the playoffs, you know, and we have to set our lineup first and Prosser's out there, the other team's licking their lips, man.
So, all right. Anybody else have anything to drop in on the week?
Perds game. We talk about the Perds game?
Yeah, we mentioned it.
The one thing we should note is, and I know we talked about this, you know, b- before the podcast here was during the Ducks game, Vermette had a little chippy chop at the referee. And
should we get into the weekly wild card then?
Sure.
All right.
So, as Aaron had alluded to, you know, there's been two games in a row now where our opponents have had multiple game suspensions against us. We've had Nyquist with Detroit, who got 6, and then Vermette with Anaheim, he got the 10 originally. Well, I think that's the guaranteed, and then it was knocked down to 5 for, yeah, a little swipe at the linesman, who, after that happened, immediately went over to the two referees and, you know, had a little powwow with them. So, yeah, it's been kind of a, you know, couple of days in a row where the Wild seem to be getting underneath the skin of some of their opponents to get them a little riled up.
Or at least getting, the games are getting the attention, as Tim said, of the Department of Player Safety.
Right. You know, well,
or official safety. Yeah.
I guess I'd rather be on that end of it rather than the receiving end of it. But, you know, what's with the team, you know, as of lately, getting underneath the skin of opponents? I mean, is it something like just playing a little bit more physical?
Well, does Stewart's exit from the penalty box the other day, does that just kind of solve it?
That was the most lovely thing ever.
The very subtle
no.
dangling glove drop, that one?
That was before he went in the box.
I thought that was right after. No. Oh, yeah, that was.
Yeah, he was like the, you want to go? And, dude wasn't even touching that.
The guy's got the theatrics down. I mean, he made a big show of, like, both encounters.
Yeah, because then he goes out of the box, just goes, okay, let's go.
Let's do it.
He steps out of the penalty box. He, like, gingerly tosses his stick down, gloves. Let's do this.
Just saying that gave me a semi.
I got to say, I mean, Stewart is the right combination of, you know, he can play hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he's got character.
11 goals?
Yeah. I mean, he's not afraid to drop the gloves and
rough it up a little.
So it's I don't know. It's a great combination.
There was a couple games this last week where that fourth line was cooking. I mean,
oh my God.
Him and like Schrader have some magic.
I am seriously, I think that when you talk about Schrader, I mean, we talk about a guy who I didn't think a lot of.
Just last week we were saying like, oh yeah, no big deal, Schrader, whatever.
But he is. He's playing some outstanding hockey. He's using his speed to his advantage. And I think what you're referring to is the, Schrader came in and he was swinging around behind the net. And I mean, he had a veteran play there where he had the patience to just wait, and there's his pass.
Yeah, it was beautiful hockey, man.
God!
And maybe that's why Stewart works so well with Schrader and Holla, because he doesn't need to be the fast guy.
Yep.
He just needs to be the patient guy, which is weird because you wouldn't think, you know, Stewart as the patient guy. But, you know, he's the one who can kind of slow things down and be the veteran.
Yeah.
Holla and Schrader, you know, off to the races.
Right.
And he can just kind of, like, serve it up.
Yeah.
And, I don't remember which game that was. I think that was, it wasn't the Anaheim game. It might have been the Stars game. And, that line looked phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal.
Holla and Zucker, speaking of Holla, on that breakaway against the Purds was absolutely gorgeous, where you had two of the fastest guys on the ice that just broke out. I think that was Zucker's second goal that game, where it was just phenomenal, beautiful.
Yeah.
So, and Holla's been doing fourth line minutes with.
And what's in a number actually at this point?
Yeah,
right?
I mean, they're all this team right now. Yeah, that you don't get caught up in like first line, second line, third line, fourth line.
It's
like,
all situational.
Yeah, 64 line, 9 line, 12 line.
Right. I mean, honestly, it's better that way anyway, because You know, we're just throwing lines at it, and you know, outside of you know the initial face-offs, it really doesn't matter because the coaches are playing those matchups all game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they're trying to match up line to line, or you know, they're trying to. It's their little chess game, oh, yeah, you know.
Right, their chess match. Yeah. Yep.
That makes me think, you know, getting ready for the playoffs. Maybe we want to get one more center that's just an ace at taking draws. You know, I mean, you can plug and play those guys as needed.
Right, and I think that's one thing that the Wild have been. I don't want to say lacking.
Yeah, I wonder if we're middle of the pack on draws. I mean, I wonder where we are.
I think Koivu's doing pretty solid.
Koivu's always pretty solid.
Right. Yeah.
So we got what? Koivu, well, Stahl?
Koivu, Stahl.
Hala.
Hala.
Coyle's like a sometime and now center.
And, well, Coyle is now the de facto center.
Yeah.
So
he didn't start
I know,
off that
I, way. I know we got a question later but regarding that, but...
Grayo probably went down because he wasn't taking great draws.
Right. Yeah. True.
So, okay. So yeah. Up, you know, upcoming, we got a bye week shortly, and you know, the Wild going into the bye week, they're right now, and we're 7 points up on Chicago with a game in hand.
And just for those that don't know about the NHL bye week, as part of accepting the World Cup of Hockey, the NHLPA goes, okay, we'll do the World Cup of Hockey, but we're going to take 5 days off
or six.
Depending on how things fall.
Right.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
And that means no practices in that whole period.
If it's 5 days off, you can practice on day four, I believe.
Something like that, yeah.
You can basically practice a day before your next game.
Right.
And it was... I don't understand why they needed to have that, but... so right now, they're 7 points up on Chicago with one game in hand. They're 1 point out of first overall. And then when they get back, they play their final 23 games in 41 days, which is absolutely ridiculous. So, I mean, does it make sense to mandate a bye week for a team only to have them play such a condensed schedule at the end of the season?
Honestly, I'd rather see teams or the league put these bye weeks right around the All-Star break, you know. You can probably shift them one way or another to make things, you know, cohesive.
But it would keep it equal.
Keep it equal, you know. I know I've heard comments about making an East and West thing, so the Eastern Conference gets, you know, a week beforehand and vice versa, something like that. I'd rather see that because right now this just seems ridiculous. I mean, this is really now this, for most players, their second week break in 2 months.
Right.
And I don't get the point of that. And they're just, and they're end up going to, the thing is, the funny thing is that it just ends up hurting themselves because they're going to have to play so many games.
Well, right.
And just get beat and ground down because of this. It's like they didn't think through the unintended consequences of this choice.
Hence the question. I mean, does it make sense to mandate a bye week only to condense the schedule at the end?
Well, is it a paid vacation?
Well, I mean, those guys get a flat rate, I think, anyways.
But is it per game? Are they not getting paid for this time?
No, their contract usually, I think, stipulates it's on like an 82-game season.
I'm sure. I mean, they're not all, but a lot of those guys, they're family guys. They want some time off their kids. You know,
I mean, these guys are humans too. That's
right.
That's the thing. You know, it's a long flipping hockey season. A long hockey season.
In principle, it seemed to be, you know, a nice gesture, but it just hasn't been carried out that great.
No,
but I mean, if you look back, I mean, yeah, if we're coming back from September till now, I'm asking for a week off too. Goddamn.
Sure.
You know,
I think it'd actually be better. If they mandated, you know, how about we not like pack most of our games at the end of the season?
Yeah.
And this is not.
We had some weeks at the beginning of the season where we played like.
Oh, 4 days off here, 3 days off there. Isn't that like a bye week? That's damn near a bye week in itself.
Yeah. But if you'd have had one more game or one more day, it would have been your bye week.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm pretty sure this year, I mean, you know, the whole World Cup of hockey aside, this is not that abnormal. Usually you start the season and it's like really sparse scheduling, and then all of a sudden the end of the year it's
starts
like
starts to ramp up.
And you know, if you're doing that year in, year out,
yeah,
you know, I can see how the players are like, give us a little break at the end of the season, whereas maybe the NHL should just go, maybe we should reschedule things and like equally spread games out through the whole year.
Maybe, you know? But and actually, if you look at it like from the Wild's perspective, where their bye week is coming in here, yes, I understand that they've got, you know, a streak of 23 games. Is that what you said coming in here? Yeah, 23 games in their last, you know, month, not even a month and a half. Now, looking at that, yes, that's a lot of games. But also look at the timing of this week. And when it comes in, you know, we're actually probably benefiting where ours falls. Because, you know, there's guys who are out there, they're playing. They might be hurt. Playing with, you know, some nagging injuries. Not enough to take them out of the lineup. But, you know, there might be some things that are hindering them. And, you know, this gives them some of that time to just heal. I mean, it's not the NFL. You're not, you know, play after play lining up against,
getting,
you know,
concussion after
some,
concussion.
Right, lining up against some guy across the other line. But, I mean, it's a long season. It's a physical sport still. And there's definitely a toll that gets taken on your body. And to give it a chance, you know, to heal a little bit and have a few extra days, I don't see it as a problem, really.
Well, I don't see it as a problem, the fact that it exists.
Yeah.
The problem is the NHL schedule in general, I think. And I think that's really what's the problem.
Yeah.
If the NHL scheduled games better, and spread games out better. And I swear to God, if you look back a few years, every year we have like three, four games or days in between in like October, November, and they cram everything in March and the beginning of April all the time. What? It happens year after year after year.
Okay. Look at this from a monetary perspective. If you're the NHL and you're scheduling games here in fall, you're scheduling against baseball,
yeah, the World Series in October,
World Series, the pennant races, you're scheduling against football.
Okay, loser sport.
You've got college football going on. I mean, there is a ton of stuff going on,
but
in the fall.
Baseball, football, they're not playing in your arenas. You don't have those as excuses.
They aren't. But you got to understand though, it would also have an effect, especially on, you know, cities where there's multiple different types of sports teams there. You know,
well, stop
are
making
you go,
teams in the South you, where they care about football.
Are you gonna go see?
Get them out of Texas.
Are you gonna go see your baseball team that's in the playoff race, or are you gonna go see the hockey team whose season just started and, you know, it doesn't really make much of a difference anyways.
The thing is hockey starts in October.
The playoffs start in October.
You don't know what teams are gonna be playing in October, so using that as an excuse doesn't hold a whole lot of water.
Then there's football. Then there's college
football.
Football,
you got Sundays. You got six other days during the week where you
No. The NFL has got it, so now it's pretty much every goddamn day there's something going on.
I think
there's
like Thursday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Saturdays after college football is done.
I think that's a loser way to look at it, and if the NHL is going to approach it that way, that's why they're the loser.
It's a business
sport.
Perspective.
That's why they're
really
the loser
is what
sport,
it is.
Then, I guess.
Well,
yeah, bottom line, it's only scary to me because we're rolling right now. Like, we don't need a break right now, but we'll take it. You know, everyone will heal their bumps and bruises. But with that condensed schedule, I'm a little worried about injuries. You know, we could lose someone important right before the playoff run.
Well, Tim, speaking of rolling right now, the other thing that's kind of been problematic with the NHL has been the bye week curse. So right now, 19. This was as of, I got these numbers as a Puck Daddy from yesterday, and I don't think that there have been any other bye week teams that have played tonight. But the 19 of 30 NHL teams have had their bye week, and with few exceptions, they all lost their first game back. Some of them quite handily. And only three teams thus far have gotten wins their first game back: Arizona, Pittsburgh, and Toronto. And only Pittsburgh and Arizona have won both their before and after bye week games. You know, they're kind of alluding it to like the vacation syndrome, where you got some days off coming, so you're like mentally like already out there.
You check out.
You're checked ahead out.
Of time. Sure. Yeah.
And then on the inside of it, you're still kind of in vacation mode when you come back, and you're not quite prepared to get back into the swing of things.
What if you're on vacation mode all the time?
Well,
that's what I do.
Do you really want your boss hearing that? So you know, the Wild come back at home against the Kings a week from today. Any predictions on how the Wild fare against the Kings after their forced time off?
You know, I
are they going to beat the odds?
I think yes. I think that they'll probably be on the better side of the stick on this one.
Drink the Kool-Aid.
But I really just think that the Wild, I mean, even if they may not come out the winner, I won't say that, but I think that they're going to still come out and give us a good game.
Yeah.
They might be a little sluggish come out the first period, but I think that as the game goes on, I'm sure they'll be in it. It's going to be an interesting game. I'm not going to go ahead and say that, I'll guarantee a win or anything, but I don't see us as having a huge problem coming back from that. We have been this consistent team all year long. Like, it just, I mean, did the All-Star game totally disrupt things for us?
Yeah, but that was every team that got disrupted by that.
But did the All-Star game disrupt things for us?
No.
It didn't. I mean, we're rolling, man. We've got consistency.
I mean, you are playing a team that's right on the bubble of a wild card spot right now that are going to be itching for some points.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind the opponent that game. Like, you can kind of muck it up with that team. Like, they're not going to score 10 on you. I think from what I've seen, teams coming off the bye, like, I think they slowly gather their legs. Like, they have, better second periods and a really good third period. So if we can just kind of hang in there with some tight check-in, we should be okay.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, I would have maybe been a little more worried about LA.
Yeah. Yep. That's a mucking and grinding team, man.
Right. I mean, and the Wild have actually fared well against teams that just want to, like, clog things down. But the thing is it's going to be a home game. And I'm not nearly as worried about those teams who just want to like try to grind the Wild down. Under Boudreau, the Wild are playing their own game.
Yeah.
And hopefully, as long as they don't, go into that try to out hit LA mode, they should be fine.
I think you're making a great point there. That's this year, it's not the other teams dictating to the Wild how they're going to play this game.
No, it isn't.
The Wild are telling those teams, this is how we're playing.
The Wild, things are going bad when the Wild are playing the other team's game.
Yes.
We haven't seen much of that this year.
You see it from time to time when they're doing this like back and forth thing, and it's like, that's not the Wild's game. Yeah. And that's not a very good thing, I think, for most teams, actually, because it's just dangerous.
You're chasing instead of
It's dangerous leading on both sides, actually.
Yep.
But the Wild have been pretty, solid as far as playing their game and just owning it.
Consistency.
I got to give props to Boudreau for that, because you can't argue with the results at this point.
We haven't seen these kind of, results or this kind of consistency around here with any of the Wild teams.
No, not at all. So.
And after 5 days off, Dubnyk should be in.
If we wanted to worry about Kemper, at least.
That'd be hilarious if Kemper starts against the Kings.
That would be something.
Just because.
Just because.
Well, you know, it could happen. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Stranger things have happened, I guess.
All right. Should we get into what's coming up?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's do it.
A little bit of movements and things happening here.
Yeah, I think I got a movement.
Oh boy. So Brodin. Jonas Brodin, recalled from IR, played on Saturday.
Saturday, yep.
Played a great game, as me and Tim were talking about.
Days are all running together now anyways.
They
right?
are. Hopefully Dumbo will be back tomorrow. That's the word on the street. Because as unpredictable as Dumba has been this year, he's
better than Prosser.
Better than Prosser.
I think I actually missed it. What was his actual diagnosis?
Lower body.
Lower body. Yeah. Okay.
I heard some talk about the knee.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I get it.
But I mean, I think he's fully expected to come back tomorrow. So yeah. It wasn't major.
Well, I know. But I guess my gripe here is I get it. Like, lower body. So somewhere down there. You know, whether it's a bum knee, a sprained ankle.
You could have got his nuts clipped.
A broken foot, or you got kicked in the nuts. Yeah. I mean, I understand you don't want to give Field of the Fire for like the other team something, give them something to like aim at or something like
don't
that.
Don't remember when you were a kid dreaming of girls going to the lower body?
The scouting report. They're like, Dumbo's got some bad nuts. Everyone take a shot.
That was a long time ago. Let me think about that.
Imagine if you just judged every injury or good thing, bad thing with your body is just upper or lower body.
Right.
Yeah, I would like the upper body injury.
I upper bodied the hell out of her. You know?
And I got to say.
Just leaves everything out there.
Remembering back to my hockey days, I still remember the guy who, you know, stood up, blocked a shot, and I'll just say he undertook a lower body injury. It involved a cup and it shattering.
Ouch.
Yep. There's something for you to think about. Hopefully you weren't eating dinner.
He blocked the shot, right?
Oh, the shot stopped.
Okay.
What do they call that? A cock block?
So we got some guys coming back, particularly on D. Hopefully we have some healthy guys and less Prosser.
Yeah.
I think Brodin's going to make all the difference in the world.
I think it's easy to dismiss Brodin when you have him playing.
He's not a flashy guy.
He's not a flashy guy. Nope. He's not an offensive player. You know, he's not going to be going. Every once in a while, he'll try to be a Spurgeon, but he doesn't do that very often. Mm-hmm. He's very much in the mold of Suter, and it's easy to overlook that. But at the same point, it's good having him back. It really is.
Yeah. It's some added depth to our team right there. I mean, regardless of how you look at it, I mean, yes, he's not that flashy guy, but
no, he isn't.
But you do notice when he is missing,
right?
You don't always notice when he's there,
right? But you can make the same. I mean, we haven't had to have an extended period without Suter,
right?
But it's pretty much the same. He's basically mini Suter,
yeah,
and you know.
Well, I think if we were missing Suter, we would be.
It's
as much as we like to make fun of him gliding and whatever. We would miss him if he.
Yeah,
was
we out. Would.
That could yes. that could derail a playoff run.
Definitely,
yeah, it totally would. Yep. And I don't want to make light of Brodin for the same, you know, in the same thought because you know, I do think that even though he's not a flashy player, the value is huge.
Yes.
And if we were to lose him again, it would be devastating, because the drop off from him to Prosser is large, you know.
I'm gonna hook up with Prosser and get you guys to come on a date with him.
Well, we need someone else, because we haven't had, you know, Pominville has been whatever this year.
He's been looking better lately.
We don't have Brodziak around. We don't have Vanek around.
I don't have Heatley around.
Yeah, so it's...
It falls to the D.
Prosser, man.
Why not Coyle? His game fell through this, you know.
Hey, he scored.
He did score, though.
Yeah.
His grandma, man. Come on.
Come on.
Okay.
His grandma is adorable, and she loves Nordy.
Nordy.
aside from that, you know, the Wild sent Took down to Iowa. You know, Took's play has been sporadic at best. And actually his play or lack of play actually sparked a comment on Twitter from Russo that the Wild needed a top nine center or right winger, with Coyle moving either way, depending on which player we would get. If the Wild are looking for someone, who do you think the Wild should target? There's plenty of guys that are out there. Vanek, as we were talking about, Brian Boyle, Aginla, Martin Hansel, Rodham Verbata, Shane Doan, Alex Burrows. Oh.
Yuck. you might have just threw up a little bit in your mouth.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, any players that would maybe tickle your fancy?
Tickle my fancy? I don't know.
I mean, I don't think we can get him, but I'd take Doan. I mean, you know, he's a elder statesman, if you will, but he doesn't look as washed up as Aginla. I think he still has a lot to give, but I don't know what the asking price would be, and I don't know if he's worth it.
Well, if there's one thing to be said, though, the Wild have made deals with the Coyotes.
Yeah.
And so we know they're open for discussions. Yeah.
I read a little, like, one-off piece where, like, his family's all rooted there, and he's to the point where, like, he needs to be within, like, a two-hour plane ride of the family. Like, he wouldn't accept just anything. So, could be a long shot for us, but I think he'd be the guy I would love to have.
I've always liked Doan. I mean,
he's a warrior, man.
He is.
I think that, you know, as I've seen him through most of his career, you know, he's been more that solid second or third line guy, you know.
Is he that still, though, at age 40? You know, that I think that's a really big question.
Well, I'd like to say us 40-year-olds are, you know, we're pretty goddamn good.
You know, Felska brought it up, and I was kind of thinking and tend to agree. And another Arizona player, Verbata. You know, he's got a little bit lower salary hit. He's got a few less years on him.
Well, you can make the same argument with Hansel, another Arizona guy.
Right.
I think the asking price for a center will be higher than a winger. You know, I think Verbata could be had for, you know, a price that we're willing to pay.
I mean, his salary right now is only $1 million, which, I mean, you know, is pretty low for a veteran center who would be worth something.
Right.
Yeah, are we forgetting about that? Like, because Coyle could still be even moved over to the center position.
I mean, would you want to do that if he's playing better at wing? Kind of like Granny. Granny could move over to the center position again, but Granny's been playing amazing on that line as a wing.
Yeah, who is not playing amazing this year? I mean, the Wild are having success. So they were playing, you know, when we're talking about when they were playing the center positions, was back when we were playing a losing system. The system wasn't working.
Yeah. Well, maybe the system is working now because they're not in that center position and playing a wing.
Maybe. Maybe it's got nothing to do with that. Let's shuffle those lines. Big money, big money, big money. No whammies.
It would be kind of funny if we got a solid center from Arizona, though, considering we got Dubnyk from Arizona.
We just go and win a Stanley Cup with everybody we've taken from Arizona.
We go and win a cup with Arizona's team.
You're right.
I was like, we didn't do well with Buffalo, so let's move on to Arizona and see how things go.
Palmaville's kind of panning out, but
he's having a good. He's having a good year.
He's having a good.
I think he just had a couple of bad years that put a bad taste in our mouth, or a bad year and a half.
Well, I think his contract doesn't match with what he's producing.
Right.
I think that's my bigger thing. So it's easy to go, you know, Palmaville, whatever. But anyway, on the Tuck note, though, Tim, you've got a question. Do you or do you not?
Well, yeah, we sent him down. So the question was, who replaces him? And I mean, I think that's been answered. I thought I saw that Graovac was called back up. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we need 12 forwards. We were at the minimum 12. Tuck went down. So it was a question for me, who would come back up, and it was Graovac. Kind of makes me think that the whole Tuck thing was just kind of an experiment, like seeing where he was at, maybe rewarding him, like, hey, like, you know, keep toiling away in the minors.
I'm pretty sure we'll see Tuck again.
You think so?
Throughout the season. Yeah, I think that they've got... I don't
know if he's dependable, man. I mean, his last game, I think he got 7 minutes of ice time.
Yeah, I don't know how dependable he is. He's not going to be playing up with the first line again, like, when he came up that first time there. But I do definitely think that we're going to see him more. I'm thinking that the advantage of sending him down at this point right now is that he's going to have the benefit of continuing to play and continuing to improve his game when the Wild are going into this, you know, stretch of, you know, time off. And, sure. And he's not going to, you know, have time to go and lose his game.
We're at the point with the cap, too, where we need to send people down to get off the cap, you know, hit per day.
Yeah.
Well, and to your point, Jive, is that, you know, having him down there and playing with this stretch that we're going to have here, we're going to need some players potentially coming up from Iowa.
Yeah.
You know, there's a good chance that someone's going to get hurt at some point or is not playing well or whatever. Right. And we're going to need him. So let him play in Iowa. Let him grind it out. Let him figure things out.
Yeah.
And
at least not get cold.
And not be cold. Yeah. But that's the nice thing that he's now in Iowa rather than in Boston. So,
right.
I don't know. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he got the tryout up here. He knows what it's like. He knows what it takes. He's a body that we might need to count on for the playoff run.
Well, and I think he has to have so many games at the NHL level in order to qualify for playing in the playoffs, so doesn't he?
I think so.
So, I mean, I think if they kind of keep him up here in and out, at least get him enough so that if it does come up to that point in the playoffs.
And it might come to that.
Because wasn't it when Follin first got signed? He played, wasn't it Follin that played like the last like 3 or 4 games, I think, of the season?
Oh, I don't remember.
But he couldn't play any of the playoff games.
Yeah.
So.
So, as far as the rest of the week,
can I pick the game of the week?
We got a game tomorrow.
Can I pick the game of the week?
As we said, we got a bye week coming up, so we have one game tomorrow. That's the Blackhawks.
Good game, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, from what I've seen, it's both on NBC Sports as well as Fox Sports.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
I think it is.
Oh, good.
Two timers.
So it should be an interesting game. I'm guessing it's not going to be a Pierre game. Oh, no, it's Blackhawks, though.
Are Blackhawks the new Penguins for Pierre?
Well, it is for NBC, though. It's basically Blackhawks and Penguins for NBC.
Yeah.
Maybe LA because they're a coastal team or whatever. But
that means they got to stay up later.
Yeah. I thought maybe, you know, I don't know if I saw this correctly, but maybe I thought Russo identified who was calling it. It was maybe like the junior varsity. I think Boucher might be calling it.
Buscemi?
Boucher.
I was just thinking of like Steve Buscemi calling him a hockey game. That's,
I'd watch the shit out of him.
He'd be,
that would be hilarious.
Oh, boy. So let's get to Twitter talk here.
Twitter talk, here it comes.
We had a couple of late minute questions that I threw in at the end.
Okay. So we'll edit where needed here. First question. This is a holdover from last week, but it was I thought it was a good question. From Megan Canny at uncanny_Megan. Besides haircuts, what does Yo and Boudreaux have in common? What is line juggling? Why is line juggling working now? I think that's like a million-dollar question, is it not?
I'm gonna say attitude. You know, I think that, I mean, there is something to be said. I mean, I'm sure we have all had jobs in our lives where we have worked for a crappy manager who has driven us insane and caused us to not, you know, produce, you know, as well as maybe we could have. But we've also probably likewise ran into some great managers that we've had along the way that, you know, they've, you know, somehow turned, you know, something that people call work into something that's, you know, fun and enjoyable, and you end up, you know, doing great things. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to, really, is probably just their styles. And I think that's probably where Boudreaux's success is. You see him back behind the bench, he doesn't have a ton of emotion. But he's got enough that where, you know, he's just going to tell the guys how it is. He's going to coach them along. But he's almost kind of like a grandpa. Like, he's not going to – you're not going to be in big trouble from him. But, you know, he expects you to go do well, you know?
Maybe he brings Baskin-Robbins in every Thursday.
Maybe it is. It's
Haagen-Dazs.
What kid doesn't like to get some ice cream with their grandpa, right? All right.
Point taken.
Tim, any thoughts on this?
I don't know. I mean, you know, he's a veteran coach. Yo didn't have the, you know, the benefit of the doubt. He was only a couple years older than some of his players. I mean, Boudreaux's won several, you know, division titles. So I just think his players respond more when they get their assignments. You know, they'll take to his coaching maybe a little more, you know, easily than they would with Yo.
So they respect him more.
Yeah, I think maybe that there's a little bit of that in play.
Yep.
All right.
Next question comes in from Jay Bushy. At JBushy19 on Twitter. Do you think the bye week should be changed to allow a practice before their first game after the bye?
Well, they can practice the day before their game.
No, I don't think it is.
I think Derek mentioned it actually earlier in chat. I think you can have a captain's practice.
Well, you can always have a captain's practice because that'd be an optional skate for any of the players. I mean,
right.
There's nothing to stop any of the players from getting together.
But it's not like it's not a mandatory.
Right.
So that's a totally different question.
What I was reading earlier, though, is if they have a game on day five, they can have a practice on day four.
Hmm.
So.
I don't know. That'd be forcing your guys back.
Yeah.
Hold on, because I saw it on.
All right. Anyway,
at least that's what Puck Daddy had reported.
Okay, I'm gonna say, as far as the question goes, they should be able to practice. I think that you should at least be able to allow to practice.
Maybe have a optional.
Well, I mean,
or you're basically what they should do is when they schedule the bye week, is plan for a practice day before actually returning to
right
scheduled play.
Have a practice day in the middle of that somewhere, yeah. And just go. We're practicing. you know?
Not even in the middle, I mean.
Cause yeah, I think you'd do in the middle, you know?
But it's a vacation week, man.
It shouldn't.
What if I want to go to the Bahamas? Well, what if I want to put my toes in the sand?
Well, you can do that in the off-season like other millionaires.
What if I want to go to the Arctic Circle? Antarctica. Australia.
You got a lot of time in the off-season to do that.
Do you?
Yes.
So,
June to August.
Yes.
That's not that much time.
It's more than 5 days.
Hey, I take June to August off every year.
So for for clarification, players are completely off for at least 4 days. There's a practice on the fifth day if there's a game on the sixth, but otherwise they're off then as well.
So I don't know. I'll go back and say that I think if they're gonna revisit how they do this bye week thing and they want to keep the bye week, I say allow a practice midweek just so players aren't
optional practice.
Optional,
yeah. Just so players aren't getting cold, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's their livelihood, and especially the teams that are hot, you know. You don't want to want to spray cold water on them, you know.
I mean, we're hot right now. Like maybe we don't want the break right now. I mean, it would be nice if you gave the team a little bit of impetus. Like, you know, you can call your own optional practices as you see. I mean, if the veterans want to go dip their toes in the sand for 5 days, let it be.
Yeah, you know? No, exactly.
Well, you know,
if you want to bag skate Folan for, you know, a whole practice.
Prosser, come on, Prosser.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sorry, but
Elk River.
I have to comment on your last statement there. You went from Clutch to Zach Brown Band. From impetus to toes in the sand.
I mean,
are we back on crappy bands? Well, the Clutch is not
no,
crappy.
No, sorry,
but it was.
But it all started because he said, "I don't hear impetus all the time," and I was just singing to myself while you said that.
My thoughts are,
it was by design. I thought you guys would edit it in.
Okay,
these guys. Post.
All right.
All these guys are professional players. They're all professional athletes. They all know what they need to do to keep up their skills. I'm guessing most of these guys are going to be at the gym at least half of that time. I'm guessing they're going to be doing some optional skates on their own and maybe even, you know, this is Minnesota. I mean, this week has kind of been jacked up because it's been warm, but I'm guessing that they're probably going to try to find some outdoor rinks to go skating on or get something together. So...
All right.
Next question, also from Jay Bushy at JayBushy19. Would the Minnesota Wild have interest in UFA TJ Oshie?
He's going to be too expensive. No.
Yeah, too much
would
money.
Would they love to have him? Sure.
I think just about any team wouldn't mind having Oshie. He's a great player.
Right.
I think he's asking way too much, and we'd have to get rid of too many players to make up for it.
Yeah.
If you wanted to have the LeBron special in the off season, like I'm coming home, you know, in like tears, and he would take a very, you know, marketable contract, then sure. But
and he exposes his Minnesota tattoo on his chest.
Short all that. I think it's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening.
Next question from Chris Frost, friend of the show, MN Frosty Boy. 1 point difference between Capitals and Wild. Would it be good or bad if we pass them in the standings? So if the Wild win tomorrow, or at least get a 1 point, we're tied for presidents.
I think Caps are playing tomorrow also.
Caps have a game in hand.
No, we're even.
No, if we play tomorrow and they're not playing.
Oh, no, I think they are playing tomorrow. I think they are playing tomorrow.
But
I can fact check that real quick.
Am I supposed to be confused by this? Sorry. Sorry, I derailed it all.
Yeah, you totally derailed it.
No, Caps are not playing tomorrow. They play Wednesday.
Okay, I was pretty sure on that.
Yeah.
So if the Wild win tomorrow or get 1 point, we're at least tied in points, regardless of games in hand. Do the Wild want to be leading? Going into their bye week.
You know, I think even if they,
does it matter or does it matter?
I don't think it matters at this at this point in time.
At this point,
I think if they do, Washington's probably. It's not like Washington's going to sit on their heels anyways. No matter what, they're going to keep going. They're going to keep going. Yeah. That's just the way Washington is. I think it's going to be just a long, you know, battle between us and Washington for top spot if both teams continue playing the way they are. And I think this might actually come down to within a point or two at the end of the season for President's Trophy. I think it's going to be a tough race.
And then we'll look back to those games at the beginning of the season that we really didn't think meant a lot.
Two Colorado losses.
That
is there really
or,
two Colorado losses?
I guess I did not realize.
Or
that.
When we actually got our chance to match up against Washington in the beginning of the season, and you know we couldn't pull it out then.
Secretly, I would hope
that's what she said.
That maybe we would fall behind the pace a little bit. Like I don't want to get caught up in that shuffle of trying to get the President's Trophy. I mean, that's
just play the game.
Yeah, I mean, do what you need to do. Going down the stretch, I mean, we're gonna have a compressed schedule. Like, keep everyone healthy, rest who you need to rest. Don't worry about the, you know.
No, I think the Wild
let's go for the big one, the Lord's Cup.
Ooh,
right.
I think the I mean, literally the Wild.
I mean, we are hungry for banners. You know, the X.
They're sitting in a spot though that like they just have to keep playing their game and not worry.
Right. The speculation will be there though if like down the stretch if we're right there neck and neck. I mean, yeah.
I think that last week if we're within a point of Washington on either direction, I think we can talk about it then and go, okay, is this ours? Are we actually going to do this, or is it just happenstance?
Yeah.
But you can also look at something like, you know, when you're trying to aim for something like the President's Cup. I like to, like, actually think back to, like, the Gopher women's hockey team when they had the, I mean, incredible streak, you know, winning streak going on. Can you think of the amount of pressure, though, that you feel every game going out there? Constantly, you know, I mean, it's all, if it's in the back of your mind, physically, that's got to add to, like, you know, the draining of the playing out that game.
Right.
It's not just playing the game and having fun and doing good things out on the ice. It, you know, becomes more of a, oh, crap, I can't miss this up.
Yeah.
You know, with that pressure there.
That's why, you know, I don't hope for losses or anything, but I just hope we're not quite on the pace at the end so the pressure's off.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
Next question comes in from Minnesota Frosty Boy as well. If the Minnesota Wild were to play the NHL Flames, that would be probably the Calgary Flames then.
Calgary.
I don't know. Calgary is that how it's now? I'm confused here. I'm sorry.
Which right now that's how it's looking.
Okay. So if they were to play them in round one, given the season history, what are the odds that we make it past them?
Quite good.
Quite good.
Yeah, I know the season series isn't great, but I mean in a 7-game series I think we'd be favored pretty heavily.
Overtime. Yeah.
I think Boudreau could formulate a game plan to kind of.
Flames don't frighten me at all.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Jump into the Flames.
I watched that goal against Elliott, center ice goal. Mike, we got this guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Elliott doesn't frighten me at all.
Hold my beer.
give me Elliott any day over Kiprusoff. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kiprusoff, we had our way with. For a long time.
I think the past few years we've kind of had Calgary's number.
Right.
I mean, this year is a little different, but.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it.
And was it last year that we beat Elliott in the playoffs, anyways?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just last year, right? Yeah.
With St. Louis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah, whatever year.
Was it 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
He still remembers it.
I'm sorry. I'm getting old, man.
He's got like PTSD.
All right. Also from Chris Frost. Given the fact that the Minnesota Wild are guaranteed playoffs, does Tuch make the lineup or do we trade?
Ooh, that's.
I feel like this call up is kind of the test, kind of.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be playing with us. I'm not certain, though, that we're going to make a trade either, though.
I don't see a trade unless unless it has anything to do with potentially going into Vegas expansion, but I don't even see that happening.
I mean, he could be, I mean, we need to, going into the playoffs, you have some reserves, right? I mean, he could be.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. A
black ace or whatever.
Yeah. That's possible.
The ace of spades.
Yeah.
The ace of spades.
I mean, if we need a body, if we're just crushed by injuries.
All these music references. I'm sorry, man. Rest in peace, sir. Sorry.
Okay. Next question. Lemmy.
Don't Lemmy. Be sorry about Lemmy. For that.
All right.
Next front.
It's in my head right now.
All right.
Next question from Steve Secor at SJ Secor. This is for Tim Nato. Is Steve Secor the greatest hockey mind you've ever met?
You know, I read this question and I thought about it for a minute. And, you played the game. You've got some expertise. You can drink beers with, you know, the gang. I think your combination of hockey smarts and beer drinking, I hold you in the same regard as I hold Daryl Sedar. Hey, I don't want any rides from you or anything, but we can hang out and talk hockey.
If you can,
they'll bring you to hockey practice.
If you can play hockey and you can drink beer, you're in.
Yeah.
Or if you can drive your kid to hockey and drink beer, like Sedar.
I need to try that.
Well, he didn't exactly drop the kids off to the cops.
No, he didn't get all the way there, you know. You had to do both, you know.
I could probably make it.
And or if you put on, like, black and white makeup, like, you might be the best hockey mime I've ever encountered.
All right. Next question comes in from Ty Sandstrom. At Ty Sands 42, three in the box. You can keep the three defensemen and Suter is one of them. Who are the other two?
I think Aaron kind of wrapped this up earlier.
Yeah.
So,
I think it's a no-brainer, right?
Suter, Brodin, Spurgeon.
Yeah, I think that's an easy one.
I
are we in agreement
agree.
There?
So then, all right, so since that's so easy, let's add to this question. Who's your fourth?
The most controversial Wild defenseman topic I see on Twitter right now is Brodin versus Dumba. You know, like, who do you protect? Who's your guy? That's who it comes down to.
I mean,
know?
If we're going fourth,
I got Prosser, man. He's my guy.
If we're going fourth, I'm going to go Dumba. I'm not convinced, but at the same point, I think he can still learn.
Sure.
So I'm going to go Dumba.
In all honesty, I think I got to go with Scandella.
Ooh.
Okay.
And I'm going to disagree with you and agree with you. I'm keeping Dumba.
And then Brodin Town.
No.
Brodin's
already in.
Wait. For the top.
Yeah.
So Brodin's protected.
Yeah.
Brodin, Spurgeon and Suter are the three.
Oh yeah.
So who's your four?
Who's your four?
Hypothetical. Who's your
Dumba?
Four?
Give me Dumba. Scandella. He's lost me a little bit this year.
No.
Just this year, I was so high on him last year.
I've been very high on him for 4 years or whatever it was, and this year it's been disappointing.
Yeah.
It's really
and,
what it is.
And at a $4 million cap hit, like
it's tough to stomach.
Yeah, for a team that's gonna be searching for dollars to pay Ryland and Nino.
You're figuring he's gonna be on that expansion.
Yeah.
Well, if you take him, you take him. You know? Yeah.
I think we might grease those wheels, like take Scandella and a draft pick.
We'll make this work for you.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think we kind of covered the last question already, but also from Ty Sands 42, speculation of a trade for Boyle or Hanzel. I'd just rather not trade for either of them. And Stan Pat, what are your thoughts? And I think we kind of
Boyle doesn't interest me at all. Hanzel, maybe
if there's like a buyer's market on them and the price goes way up, no way.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, that's the thing is like, if we didn't make any moves at this point, I think it's safe to say we all would still feel comfortable with our team.
Yeah. Our team is sitting pretty good.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I think Carter is toiling away trying to get eligibility to be, you know, eligible for the playoffs. Right. To be a body, you know.
If we need Ryan,
to
call Ryan up, Carter.
Yeah. Ryan Carter. If we need to, you know, call him up, if we need to plug him in because of injuries, I think that's our play right now.
I'd be okay with him and not
He knows his teammates. He knows somewhat of the system.
Yeah. I
Hansel's going to cost, like.
Too much.
I think Boyle's going to cost, too.
Yeah, he totally is.
Does Tampa Bay want to trade him? I mean, aren't they kind of on the bubble?
There's so many teams that are like on the bubble,
right?
Or teams that are
we talk about Colorado because like
Colorado.
We talk about Arizona. Arizona and Colorado are the only teams that are like kind of out.
But Colorado's, I can't imagine Colorado trading with us at all.
Yeah,
and so I
well, Waz gone now. They might not hate us as bad.
Well,
as bad,
but it's still a divisional opponent, and right. Teams tend to not. I suppose trade
we made trades. We made trade the Lighty trade with Chicago back when we were in separate divisions.
Right. Yeah. I mean, teams don't tend to make trades in their division.
You don't want to throw the guy. You know.
You don't want to make that mistake. You know. Right. And you have to face them. You know, 8 times a year.
If you throw a guy away in your division, it's easy to just throw him under the bus and they'll make it there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't even deserve that.
Never mind. Hey, did you guys hear about that new high-tech broom?
No. We're not doing this.
Dude, it's sweeping the nation.
Oh. Okay, give me a gunshot, please.
Mercy kill.
So there you have it, Twitter talk.
I think that's the show.
Tim.
Did I just kill the show?
You just killed the show.
Yes.
Oh. Tim, where can people find what you're up to, aside from when you're not working at the beautiful Summit Brewery?
When I'm not sleeping under a 494 bridge, you can find some pretty not hot takes at timnado.com or at timnado at Twitter.
Do you have timnado.com too?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Nice.
Kenny.
Yeah, you can, you know, Twitter, Instagram, the huge, at Nostracanius. Usually with some ramblings about, you know, different sites I'm on, different bands that I'm working with, and random stuff like that.
And Jive?
Yeah, you can find me. I'm at Jive Midnight on Twitter.
As for myself, easiest thing for me is probably Twitter, at Angry Finn. Anyone, thanks for listening. You can find our podcast at iTunes, 3inthebox.com, Google Play Music, or Google Play whatever they want to call it today.
Favorite podcast app.
Yeah, favorite podcast app. I think next week we're going to probably be releasing the results from our survey.
Yeah.
The survey. We'll post a link out on that again, just so if you want to get a last-minute entry in, it'll be on our website. And
we're going to be a little late next week.
We'll probably be a little later next week.
Wild game starts at 7.
Yeah, we'll head in after the game. Yeah.
So probably 10-ish, 10:30, 10.
Late-ish.
Later-ish.
Yep.
Be here after the game.
So anyway, I think that's it. That's the show.
See I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
All right.
My send-off.